back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, if you've heard of Baby Einstein or Baby Mozart products for babies and toddlers, designed to encourage discovery, growth, and the inspiration to become little Einsteins and Mozarts, or at least that's what the marketing suggests, you won't be surprised to learn that now there's a new group of offerings devoted to the world of fitness and athletics. That's right. Now you can encourage your baby to become the next Michael Jordan or Michael Phelps, starting in infancy. Yes, several companies nationwide are now offering DVDs, classes, training infants as young as 6 months old. But is there any scientific basis for this? Is it truly the younger the better? And are there dangers in beginning to train children at this tender age? Well, joining me this morning to explore this brave new world of infant and toddler athleticism is Dr. Scott Sherman, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and the Director of Pediatric Nephrology at Upstate Medical University. Dr. Sherman also has a special angle on this topic, as he is not only a pediatrician, but also a youth coach and an ex-collegiate basketball player. Welcome, Dr. Sherman.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your joining us this morning.
Sure.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit about your experience as a collegiate basketball player? Where'd you play and for how long?
I played in college. I just played 1 year. I decided that I better focus in the books because I was definitely not going to be playing in the NBA someday. but I played at Johns Hopkins in the early 80s for a year. After, of course, playing in high school and before that.
Did you have a good record in high school?
That was the most fun of my life, probably, is playing sports and particularly basketball in high school. We had a great team and a great bunch of guys that I still keep in touch with. Great memories and a lot of fun.
Now, when did you start playing? I mean, obviously, you achieved quite a level to play in college. So this is just interesting vis-a-vis this whole discussion of how soon is too soon. When did you start to play, do you recall?
Well, we would just play with kids in the neighborhood. This is, of course, a long time ago. And the only real organized athletics at that time was Little League baseball. And so I probably started playing Little League baseball when I was in third grade, but we would play baseball and football and basketball in our yards with the kids in the neighborhood probably when I was in first or second grade, but in a very informal way, not the way it's really done today with travel teams and such starting at a very early age. And then I played on school basketball teams, for instance, when they started. But even back then, that didn't really start, at least for me, until seventh grade. And then we had a brief season, and we would transition to another sport in another season. And that really went through high school.
It sounds kind of like the natural evolution of what most of us have experienced, at least of our generation or even the younger generation, but it's begun to change, or it's changed a lot probably in the last couple of decades.
Oh, it's changed tremendously. When my kids are now 12 and 15, I have two sons, and I was aware, given my work with children, that there's been a major emphasis, push toward specialization in sports and really intensity of play at a very early age, starting with things like travel soccer teams, even in first and second grade. So I was aware of that. And it's been an eye-opening experience for me over the last several years. My older son in particular has played on a travel AAU basketball team now for 4 or 5 years, and it is it's quite a world.
Yeah, it's a lot of issues there, actually, that it raises to me, none the least of which is kind of what's in it for the parents. But we'll get to that in a minute. I'm curious as to your sense, knowing what you do about child development, what is your sense about these claims that the earlier the better for athletic performance? I mean, for example, how early does one need to learn to kick a ball to become a great soccer player or a tennis player or a competitive skier for that matter?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that anyone knows the right answer to that. I do, I can tell you my opinion, and that is that certain persons are born with extraordinary athletic gifts. I mean, I don't think LeBron James's mother was passing him a basketball and having him practice dribble when he was 9 months old. He was born with extraordinary gifts. I think that anyone's particular gifts can, through repetition, be maximized. Now, the question is, how early does it make sense, and how early could this repetition help someone maximize his gifts? And I think it's silly to believe that some child, infant at 6 and 12 and so many months, that repetition at that age will translate into excellence when a child is a teenager or beyond.
And obviously there's readiness factors, not only physical readiness, but there's also mental and emotional readiness for all of the requirements that go into sports, it seems to me.
Yes. I mean, you alluded previously to kind of what's in it for the parents, and I think that kind of gets back to just that question. Why is a parent so focused on the athletic future of his or her child at such a young age? And when the child is given a message that this is extremely important, athletics ultimately is about success and failure. These are competitive endeavors. And if a child has a sense that he has failed in a particular endeavor that their parents have made so important, that can be emotionally very, very difficult.
If you're like me, and I have two boys as well as a girl, and I've certainly seen them go through all of these kinds of travel soccer and tennis, I can't tell you how many times I would be a witness to a parent berating a child after a poor performance or yelling at them from the sidelines in a way that was horrifying to me, and recognizing that something is amiss here. I mean, the parent's ego was far too heavily invested in a way that was damaging to that child's self-esteem. So it's...
Yes, we've all had those experiences, and anyone who has been involved in any competitive youth travel team has seen that. And to be honest, I can... It is in some ways easy to get caught up into that, because the family is investing a lot of its time, money, these are expensive endeavors, and with that, the endeavor becomes important. Anything you put time and money into becomes important.
And then, of course, it's the egos of the parents. Yeah. The other factor I think that plays a role, and I'm wondering if you've seen this as well, is that some parents have this notion that their child will get a quote-unquote full ride scholarship into college and beyond with their athletic prowess, and that puts a tremendous amount of pressure. I mean, whether it comes from whether economics is driving it or ego is driving it, both those factors.
Yeah, that can be a toxic combination. One of the sad parts is the fallacy of athletics as a way of paying for college, for instance. This is rarely borne out in fact. Even if a person plays in college, there's very few that have their entire college education paid for through their athletic endeavor. Maybe a very, very small portion, but very few, tuition, room, board, etc.
And the dangers to me about that kind of pressure, as you've alluded to also, in terms of the child's sense of self or failure or success. I mean, clearly, if you're successful, it probably does boost your sense of self-esteem, but it's an awful tightrope to walk.
Yes. I mean, ultimately, every parent if you ask them what their goal for their child is, will reply, I want my child to be happy.
Right.
Right. And, but we have to let them decide ultimately what makes them happy. We can't choose an endeavor and success in endeavor and say, this will make you happy. And athletics is competitive. There are winners and there are losers. And the losers, at the end of the day, have to be happy, hopefully, as well as just the winners.
Well, perhaps there's something to be said or learned from the ability of separating performance from value of your mm-hmm. self-esteem. In other words, I certainly worked on that with my children all through their lives. If they've failed at a particular athletic endeavor, I always tried to make it very clear it didn't change their worth or value as a person. They just, their performance wasn't able to match the other person's performance. But I think it's rare that parents make that
perspective
point.
Is unusual when the family gets over the top. And it is hard. My wife and I have long struggled with ourselves taking ourselves emotionally out of the forefront of this. But what you get to is focusing on the process of, it's important to be part of a team, it's important to help the team, it's important to focus on something and try and be the best you can be at that, and then the outcome is really not as relevant if you've gone through that process and focused on the importance of that process.
So there are intrinsic benefits, and some of the other intrinsic benefits that have been raised are things like combating childhood obesity, for example. I mean,
sure.
You mentioned teamwork and participating, having, give and take, all of those kinds of things. But fitness is another possible one, and other things that some of these programs tout, these early childhood programs, is it's great way of providing a structure for parents and children to spend quality time together. I'm not only talking about team sports,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking
sure.
about getting your kids out in some athletic capacity. But I think the key point here is that you're not necessarily gaining any ground by starting at 6 months.
No, absolutely not. I really believe strongly that the lead should be taken largely by the children. My sons dragged me out to play catch, to shoot baskets. And if it's about them and what they want to do, and if they're focused on that, then you can provide structure and guidance with that.
And it seems to me there are other dangers that, besides the issue of pressures of performance expectation, I mean, you have the danger of overuse problems with, being involved in sports 24/7. You have to have other kind of potential hazards there.
Yes, overuse injuries, they're particularly been... they've definitely been seen in basketball, baseball in particular, but really almost any sport in which you're focusing year-round, which was not the case when I was a kid. But it's hard. My older son now pretty much plays exclusively basketball. He loves to do that, but it's a balance of doing that and too much of a good thing, because there are problems with chronic back, compression fractures, microfractures, certainly pitchers with arm and shoulder difficulties, kids getting surgery on their arms as young as 11 and 12 years old.
Real issues there. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's an issue of balance. Mm-hmm. And I think balance is the message we want to get across here. And Dr. Scott Sherman, Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Director of Nephrology at Upstate Medical University, coach and ex-collegiate basketball player. Hey, thanks so much for joining us with all your insights today. It was very, very helpful, I'm sure, to most parents. We need to take another short break, but we'll be right back. I'm Linda Cohen. Please stay with us, and we'll have more HealthLink on air coming up right here on FM News Radio 106.9 WSYR.